Sometimes I feel like Romper Room when I do this. Did anybody watch Romper Room as a kid? This is a children's show when I was growing up, and
I was thinking that
the woman who hosted it would look through this mirror and say, "Oh, I see Bobby and Susie." Anyway, it is good to be together. So I'm going to share my screen. Just invite you all to just kind of sit back and relax as we do this. Here we are. And so this is an introduction to the small groups. And here's what I'm proposing. Really, we have just a brief check-in, really. And that we check in on this question. What are some of the emotions you have felt in the past week? What are some of the emotions you have felt in the past week? Most of us have felt a few things. We're going to have about 4 people in a group. And we're thinking we could do this in about a minute each. I think we could name some of the things we've been feeling in about a minute each. So altogether, we're going to take something like 5 minutes to do this. So that's the big idea. Really simple. And we'll all get to see who we land up with. We're just going to press the automatic button to make these small groups. So I think if Jim's got that all going, we can do that. And so, Jim, you want to do your magic?
We're all set.
Terrific.
Here we go.
Okay. So, wow, we're getting good at that, right? Coming in and out, that's really nice. So I want to present some thoughts, as I said, at this point in our time. So I'm going to share my screen again. There we go. I've entitled this Emotions, Thoughts, and the Morphic Field. Emotions, Thoughts, and the Morphic Field. So I'm going to see if I can connect those things and share my own kind of emerging awareness around this, and then just give you a chance to think about it in your own experience, and then to speak some about it in small groups and then perhaps all together. So that word morphic field comes from largely this man, at least he made it more popular. Rupert Sheldrake is a biologist and author. He's an Englishman. And he's written on it and spoken on it. There's an earlier word apparently that is relating to biology, which is morphogenetic. Rupert Sheldrake uses the word not just to relate to biological species, but to all of nature, all of creation. So the idea that he presented is that the universe is operating from a memory and a habit. I think of subconscious mind when I think of those things, because for us as human beings, memory and habit lodge in the subconscious mind. And then when I think of the subconscious mind, I also think of the emotional body, because they're very much related. The subconscious mind is very much connected to feeling. So there are feeling memories, and those memories are attached to thought memories. And sometimes those feeling memories arise without the thought even. Maybe you've had that happen. You realize something has come up in your own feeling realm that in some way relates to the past, but it doesn't come up with a specific memory, at least not unless you explore a little bit what that thought memory might have been. You just have the feeling. And then there are habits. So for us as human beings, you know, memory and habit, those are really powerful things. And then in the larger field of collective humanity, that goes to culture. So when you think of what we experience in an ethnic group or a nation or a community, or even what we share in common around the world, that memory and habit goes to what we often call culture. It's a context in which we live that is very powerful. It tends to influence how we think about things. And if we get outside our usual cultural context, maybe we think a little differently. So that memory and habit is like a subconscious dimension of a human experience. But what Rupert Sheldrake said was that while we think of the universe as operating according to laws, actually something similar is happening for planets and galaxies and all of nature, that it operates according to a structure, an underlying structure that's invisible, which he spoke of as a morphic field, and that what's happening in form is coming out of that underlying structure that is memory and habit. So he said this about it. He said, "How are these fields inherited? I propose that they are transmitted from past members of the species through a kind of non-local resonance called morphic resonance. The fields organizing the activity of the nervous system are likewise inherited through morphic resonance, conveying a collective instinctive memory. Each individual both draws upon and contributes to the collective memory of the species." So a very powerful idea. And he approached this as a biologist. So I'm not prepared to present his life's work here, but he had a scientific basis for this, a biological basis based on biological study. But we can think about it from our own human experience and how we experience exactly this. He wrote a book that was, I forgot exactly the title, but it's something like, "How Come the Dog Knows When His Mistress is Coming Home?" So, you know, he was asking the question, why does the dog get all excited when his mistress is on her way home, but she hasn't gotten there yet? And he ascribed it to morphic resonance. There's some kind of resonance in a morphic field where the dog just intuitively knows. So the idea here is that everything has a morphic field and is a part of other morphic fields. So you do have a Russian doll kind of phenomenon. So Russian dolls, you know, one doll is inside the next, is inside the next. So there's some kind of holonic structure of morphic fields. And we could think of it in terms of how we're made as a human being. There's a morphic field for every cell, tissue, gland, organ, body systems. And then for the whole human being, there's a morphic field. And to make the connection for people who are familiar with the teaching of emissaries of divine light and the teaching of attunement, as many of us are, this may sound familiar, because we name the morphic field as pneumoplasm. And I believe while it's looked at from a slightly different perspective from Rupert Sheldrake's point of view and our point of view, it's essentially, I believe, the same thing. And there's an understanding that the pneumoplasm, or the auric field is another way to name it, that it has within it a structure that is like the habit and memory that Rupert Sheldrake speaks of. So he says, morphic fields organize atoms, molecules, organelles, cells, tissues, organs, organisms, societies, ecosystems, planetary systems, solar systems, and galaxies. And as humans, we have morphogenetic. So here's that word morphogenetic, which means form creating personal, social, and cultural morphic fields. Our body parts, emotions, thoughts, behaviors, spirituality, family systems, and relationships all have morphic fields. So, you know, for those of us who know the teaching around pneumoplasm, this is sounding a whole lot like pneumoplasm to me. And morphic fields underlie our mental activity and our perceptions. So that's really the point I was making before. If a morphic field has memory and habit, it holds factors of subconscious mind. And then how we think, certainly, how we think consciously dips into the subconscious factors. So depending on upon what's there in all those habits, all that memory. So when we're thinking something consciously, we're dipping into that for a reference point, and then we reference the structure that's down there, all that habit, all that past experience, and then all the emotion that's associated with it. And that's influencing how we're thinking. So that is fascinating to me. It really raises the question of, you know, so what do we do? And how do we gain mastery over our own thinking? And how do we gain a relationship with our emotions and then the morphic field that is one of not just being inundated by what they bring our way, which gains awareness of what's there by what comes to us, but doesn't necessarily mean that we're controlled by those things or we're overwhelmed by them. How does that happen? So I do believe that what we feel emotionally is a product of what is happening in our morphic field. It's putting us in touch with the morphic field, and our morphic field is talking to us through our emotions. And so there's information in what we're feeling about our morphic field. And then we're left to just wonder, well, what is it telling us? At what level is it coming? For instance, we could imagine that the things that we're feeling are about our own immediate morphic field, about our own individual human experience. So we could imagine that it's that. But it might be connected to those people that we're close with. It could be our own immediate family, could be our community, could be our nation. I'm reflecting on what we just shared in my small group. So somebody talked about their family and members of the family and what they were thinking or feeling and what was happening for them. And then the individual was speaking about what that meant emotionally for them. I was speaking about what I feel for our country here in the United States and how scary it is to have a federal government that is so inept in the middle of a crisis, to have, you know, the federal government who we might look to for leadership to get help get us through this, to see their ineptness. It's just, for me, I feel the fear of all that, and maybe some of that is related to my own individual human experience, but maybe it's connected with the fear in the nation. Maybe the general population, when they're hearing one thing one day and something totally different the next, it's raising fear in the morphic field of the nation. And of course, in this pandemic, it's obvious that more and more clear that we're sharing something as a human race, like we're all going through this together. And so what we're feeling is in touch with that whole holonic structure, with all those wheels within wheels, all those Russian dolls. So I think the first thing to me that assists us to come into greater mastery is some awareness of what's going on. So enough detachment to know that, yes, I'm feeling all kinds of things, but they could be from all kinds of places. And as a matter of fact, I'm interested in those things. And then I'm interested in how I can be influential in those fields. So let's say it's my family. How do I influence the morphic field of my family so that there's a vibration introduced into the morphic field that brings a vibration of peace, a vibration of assurance, a vibration of calm, a vibration of that's essentially a love vibration. That has to do with the centering of thought and feeling, as I think we all know. And we're going to focus on that more a little bit later. But I think it's so important. Our own spiritual centering enters into all this, because when our own emotional body and our own mental body, our own thoughts, are opening up not just to the morphic field, but are opening up to the source of vibration within them, a source of high vibration. When we're tuning into that ourselves, that vibration is now moving through and moving through thought and feeling, and the thought and the feeling are connecting us with the morphic field. And now there's something moving into the morphic field that is influencing it. I think of various sayings around all this. Jesus put it this way. He talked about being in the world, but not of it. So we're in the morphic field, but if we're spiritually centered, we're not of the morphic field. We're not defined by it. We are defined by, guided by, influenced by, held by something larger than the morphic field. And then we are bringing white magic into that morphic field. So we're bringing an activation of it that is a spiritual activation. So in that sense, we have mastery. I do think there's a dynamic in all of this, because as that begins to happen, it's not like it's a relationship without reciprocity. Meaning, yes, we can say, let love radiate into the morphic field without concern for results. But it's not like you just let love radiate and walk away and that's the end of it. You let the love radiate into the field and something comes back. It's an ongoing relationship. It's an ongoing vibrational conversation, as Yolanda used to call it. And so something is coming back. It could be like a loving response. It could be reaction, objection. But there is some kind of push and pull. And then we have to be up for that push and pull and stay spiritually centered in the middle of it. And realize that that's what's going on and stay in the place of mastery. So what often happens if a person doesn't know what's going on is they may have a moment of letting love radiate without concern for results, but then something comes back and the person thinks, oh, what is that? And now they're pulled into the undertow of what comes back out of the morphic field. So that doesn't work very well. You might say they might have been better off if they didn't start the whole process, if they just kind of blended into the crowd and got just mixed up with what everybody else is doing, if they're not conscious of what they're doing. But we're here to be conscious individually and then conscious together. That means that we understand, we have some basis of understanding what's happening and what it means to be masterful in the whole thing. What it means to have this push-pull relationship with the morphic field and be unchanged by it. Feel the feelings. Yeah, the feelings, we do feel the feelings, because the morphic field isn't just a static thing. It's not just an informational field, it's an energetic field. So there is energy coming back. With spiritual centering, we're bringing a higher energy than the morphic field, so it's all fine. We're bringing a transcendent, transmuting energy if we are consistent in that. And so it all works. Until such point as we lose centering. And now we're just back in the undertow and That's difficult individually, and then we're beginning to work very consciously together as a collective of people in that process. So we're working together consciously, understanding what we're doing and navigating all that together. So that's essentially what I wanted to share with you at this point. And we have another chance to be in small groups. And the sharing I'm inviting is around this question. Do you see a relationship between what you have been feeling recently, which perhaps you shared some of just now in your previous small group, and the morphic field in your world? So do you see a relationship between what you've been feeling recently and the morphic field in your world? So we're going to have, about four people in a group. We're going to extend the time a little bit, have 2 minutes each. If somebody's got a cell phone, you can keep time in the 2 minutes. But we're going to do that. So we're going to be away for altogether just about 10 minutes. And then we'll be back together. Okay, Jim, go ahead and work your magic.
All right, here we go.
So I'm going to share my screen once more. I want to just say a word or two more about this, which is the role of spiritual centering in transmuting the morphic field. So I am quite sure that for everybody online, we already know a lot about this. And I'm quite sure that we each have our own practices that are part of us maintaining, then strengthening and deepening our spiritual centering. And I would say that too becomes a habit, meaning that in our own emotional body and in our own subconscious mind, it becomes a habit when we consistently strengthen and consciously deepen our own spiritual centering, when we adopt practices that do that. And those practices, they could be a lot of different things, but practices of thought, practices of feeling, even artistic practices in the sacred arts, physical practices, all kinds of things that keep calling our own morphic field into alignment spiritually. My experience of that on Sunday, which for me was a spiritual practice, for me personally, but then it was a collective spiritual practice to share the service together on Sunday. So my experience of Sunday was there was a powerful spiritual practice, probably, if you wanted to count them, a few different ones. Hula itself is a spiritual practice. Prayer is a spiritual practice. Attunement is a spiritual practice. Meditation is a spiritual practice. Thinking can be a spiritual practice. And it was so powerful to employ all those practices through the course of the service, find that we together were strengthening our spiritual connection, our spiritual centering, and that there was just this huge download of spiritual energy that came, you know, through thought and feeling into our morphic field, and then radiated out from beyond our own immediate morphic field out into the world. So there's an example of it. So what I thought we would do for the remainder of our time would be to share our own experience of this together as a whole group. So that's a little bit adventuresome, given that there are a lot of us here, but I think we could do it. And I suppose the way this goes is, if you want to speak, you have to make sure you unmute yourself so we can all hear you. And let's have a little consideration of others who might want to speak. So please don't speak longer than you need to convey your point. But The question is, are there fresh insights you have on the subject we are considering tonight? So what are your fresh insights on the role that your own spiritual centering plays in all this? And then how do you go about that? What are your spiritual practices that you engage in that are effective, that bring some kind of spiritual download and then some kind of mastery when it comes to your morphic field? So I'm just going to open up our time for some dialogue on that.
I think that taking responsibility for the structure that we each accept in our life is the starting point. And also, I know in my practice, a lot of meditation is present. So for me, it's a very powerful vehicle to offer something that I am in this morphic field. Also, the attitude that's behind my meditation needs to be something that's encompassing, that's something that's, as you mentioned, unconditional love, not stopped by anything that I think it should be this way or that way. So it's just a state of mind, and it just permeates my meditation. So that's what I had to say. Thank you.
Well, to me, we're really here to engage with the morphic field. We cannot really transmute the morphic field unless we're actually engaging with it. And as many of you know, I spend a lot of time listening to radio news programs and watching the news, and I'm actually engaging with these things, with the emotions that these things bring, with the thoughts that this engagement brings. But because I maintain my spiritual centering in the midst of this and actually let the morphic field be engaged with at that level, I have an opportunity to transmute the morphic field. We cannot ignore the morphic field. We cannot ignore the world. Some people have come to Sunrise Ranch in the past seeking to ignore the world. They don't want anything to do with it. We're not here to do that. We're here to engage with the morphic field and transmute it, because we absolutely maintain our centering in the highest love.
Well, I have, Lynn McTaggart wrote the book, The Field, and which really talks alongside of what Rupert Sheldrake talks about. And she just wrote a book called The Power of Eight. So I'm with a group of seven other people, and scientifically, this group of eight coming together changes the field for healing. When the mind is concentrated on not asking for healing, but seeing healing. So we're on week three now, and we're keeping journals of the people that we're putting into the prayers. And we're seeing some amazing results changing the field of reality in our sphere of experience and influence. Thank you.
I've been having a changed experience just thinking of Kyle Richmond and all that was said about him. And I knew in the brief times I spent with him that there was this genuine core experience that kind of lit up. So I've been thinking about the purity of my own expression and receiving others and the openness. Make sure that anything that's coming up that's critical or insecure in me would just go away, so that I can be radiant in the presence of others and listen to others, not so much think about myself. And I'm aware of what kind of depth of friendship. And I can remember certain people who were almost transparent when I met attunement people. I could name names, but genuine people that were had a luminosity about them because they were living in this pure field of their own generation.
I just find that a sense of humor helps to deal with the morphic field. being able to see the comedy in the situation, particularly my own. When I remember to do that, it loosens things up and it surprises me what moves.
This is Melissa. I would just like to share something that's just happened just in the last few days. I have a friend who I don't communicate with very often. I knew her eons ago here in White Rock. And there was something niggling at me to call her. It was a heart connection. So it wasn't something that I was worried about, but I just had this deep urge to call her. And I'm glad I acknowledged that. And we had a very good conversation. It's always good to just get back to the friendship that we shared a long time ago. And she was just, at the end, she was saying that she was working with something that she was really worried about, that she'd had a real sharp pain in her lower bowels and was thinking of phoning a doctor. So, and I couldn't help her with any suggestions. But there was just that feeling of enveloping her in that attunement of love. And I kept that for, say, 2 days. And then I phoned her because I had read a fascinating article on aloe vera and its value for that part of the body, and not just for that part. And she was so thankful, but she had phoned her doctor and he suggested that she maybe massage her lower part of her stomach. And so she did, and whatever it was, dislodged it, and the whole problem's gone. But I felt like I played a part in allowing that to work to perfection. So that, not doing it an ego point, but just feeling that somehow I had a role in it.
Well, when I think about the morphic field, when I was on the screen there, I have a more accurate feeling of this, like just memory, but of the DNA. And it turns out that in our bodies, the DNA, if straightened in a line, goes from the sun to Pluto and back. Stored information from the beginning of time of this body, from the Big Bang, all of it, all of this information is there. And the past is stored, learned behaviors, the morphic field. There's also in the DNA unexpressed, which includes the spiritual. So it's all in that field. The morphic field includes the future also, which is unexpressed chosen DNA that we haven't yet turned on with our thinking. And to think about that, and what has helped me is I used to meditate a lot, but now the word interest, be interested in what I'm feeling from a kind of like an observer viewpoint. So rather than sitting and trying to go somewhere meditate, it's like, oh, what's going on here? And then knowing that this DNA that I have, which is basically infinite from the beginning of time to unexpressed stuff, which is the future, that has helped me. Thank you.
I just want to pick up on the piece around spiritual practice, David, and years and years and years of experience. I'm going to use attunement, of course, but just to stay in that devotion to one's spiritual practice and remaining in attunement. And lately, the excitement of being more and more conscious about what it is I'm offering and what it is that is between my hands, conscious of the vibration of what it is that's happening there and sensitive to it at both the mental and emotional levels and confident in what it is I'm actually knowing there. Mm-hmm. And in that perception and the perception of what returns in the returning cycle as well. You check that as well. The vibration that's returning to you as a result of what it is that's going forth. So I'm in the place of a lot of excitement around this new level of perception that comes with being consistent. So that's me for tonight.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. I see we've come to the end of our time. And I simply want to share that what's up for me right now is simply self-compassion. We're here in the middle of all this, playing the role that we're playing and feeling all that we're feeling, connected to the morphic field we're in, and then bringing vibration into that field. And our human souls are here for this, you know, so just self-care, self-compassion. Seems so important to me. And then care for one another. And the realization that we are doing some spiritual heavy lifting, and that's good. And again, that just brings a call for self-compassion and self-care, and then collective compassion and care in the middle of all this. So I want to circulate that around as much as I can and facilitate that among us. So really wonderful to be together on this Wednesday night here in Colorado and whatever time it is. See, Stephanie just got on. Just really good to touch in as friends, to hold this cycle together, to be or simply to be in it together with integrity and fidelity with one another. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Good to see
you. Thank you, David. Beautiful service. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.